Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا
رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب
الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our beautiful weekly program tonight with Madani Channel. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we're back again with another beautiful topic. And the topic we're going to be discussing today, a lot of people are sadly, fighting this battle. You know, the name of the topic that we have today, a lot of people have, we've kept the topic open so that we can include a lot of things as well. As usual, alhamdulillah, on my right side, mashallah, azawajal, we've got Harun bhai. Subhanallah, Harun bhai, you okay? JazakAllah, you're a very busy man, and alhamdulillah. Ji, subhanallah, Tawfiq bhai on the left-hand side, mashallah, azawajal. How are you, Tawfiq bhai?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, JazakAllah. Allah ta'ala barakat de, JazakAllah khairah for the Islam brothers to give us that time and to join us today. Ji, Pyare Islam bhai, today we've got the topic and we're going to be discussing about fears. So it's a very big topic. You can put a lot of things inside. So Harun bhai, inshallah, so then I want you to start off with the topic fears. What would you say about in your opening remarks?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ji Hafsab, fear is kind of an inbuilt in human natural emotion.
Ji.
And it is very powerful, very primitive, but very powerful. And it's really the threat of harm that you perceive. So it's like almost if you feel that something's going to happen, it may be a million miles from happening. But if you fear it, this emotion overtakes you. And that emotion will then dictate how you react. Now, fear is both physical. You'll have a physical reaction. You will have an emotional reaction, a psychological reaction, and it will affect you. So a lot of people have this unfortunate vicious circle where it's just fear of this, fear of that, fear of losing this, fear of that. And this is an emotion that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed in us for a reason. And this is an emotion that if we don't learn to control properly, and you know, inshallah, later on in the program we'll be discussing how to control it and what true control of it is, then it is really a weapon of the shaitan. Because what the glorious Quran says in Surah Baqarah Sharif, verse 268, Shaitan threatens you with poverty and orders you to immorality, while Allah promises you forgiveness from him and a bounty. And Allah is all-encompassing, all-knowing. Now, what that says is that the Shaitan actually brings a fear in you. And what he does is he brings this fear in you so that he can lead you astray. So we have fears which are irrational. You know, some people may be scared of, you know, a small spider there, and they might run a mile. And you think, look at the size of you compared to the spider. And you tell them, you know, this little thing doesn't bite, you know. And, you know, one, I might pick it up and walk around with it, but others will have this irrational fear. That's an extreme. But when it comes to daily life, in our dealings, in our sustenance, in everything that we have, what this fear does is it overtakes our willingness to obey Allah. So what happens is this. Everybody has this desire that I want to be, all Muslims, and that I want to be obedient in the court of Allah. But then the shaitan comes along, and what he says is, but you're trying to stick to halal because you think that Allah will be pleased with you. But what if you haven't got enough money to feed your children? What are you going to do then?
Yeah.
What if you haven't got enough money to put bread on the table? What if you haven't got enough money to pay for your children's fees? What if you haven't got enough money to live a nice lifestyle? Look at the person next door. He didn't do this. You are going to get into poverty because you are now, you know, differentiating between what halal is and haram. It's all the same. And then that's when you get people who say, well, interest. What's wrong with interest? It's like business dealings. And the glorious Quran says that. You know, and this is the slippery slope. And where does it all start? It starts with this emotion of fear. And what the shaitan does is puts a veil in front of you. Pardate. And that fear overtakes your actions and emotions.
MashaAllah. Very beautifully mentioned, Arun Bhai. Jee, Tawfiq Bhai, your opening remarks for that, please.
Hafsa, fear and the fear that we're talking about today is fear of losing dunya. If you look at the practical examples in our life, we say, what if I lose my job?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to me? What if I don't progress? You know, I've been working in this firm for the last 5-10 years, but I'm not moving forward. I'm not climbing the ladder of success. What if I lose my health? What if I'm walking in the park and someone comes and harms me? What if, what if I have an accident? What's going to happen to me? Yeah. What if I don't have the means to look after my family? What if I fail in the exams? Now, those who are at school or college, university, what if I fail in the exam? What's going to happen to me? I'm going to be destroyed. So this fear is part of life. Yeah. And another example would be, what if the status that I've got in my family, in my own circle, what if I lose that? Yeah. And whichever field you go into, you know, from
there's always a fear factor,
and it's part of life.
Yeah.
Having a fear is not wrong by default. Yeah. But these fears that we've just spoken about now, if you want to describe them, these, you can call them fears, fear of dunya, or you can call them, these are because of lack of trust in Allah.
Yeah.
There's lack of tawakkul in this. Yeah. That you are being scared. But at the same time, what's happening, you're not depending on Allah in your heart, your mind, you're not thinking about Allah. Allah Almighty has given you everything. You know, if you look at the life, from the birth, from the moment that we were born, you know, we depend on Allah.
For sure.
Yeah, you know, you couldn't walk, you couldn't talk, you couldn't ask if you needed milk, you couldn't ask. Yeah, you couldn't wear clothes, you couldn't do anything.
Mm.
Yeah, from that moment, you know, childhood, teenage, youth, all the way in life, every single moment in this dunya and the akhirah, we depend on the mercy of Allah Almighty.
Subhanallah.
Yeah? So that's the first thing we need to keep in mind.
So
we have a fear, but there are two types of fear. Fear of dunya and fear from Allah Almighty. So whenever we have fear of dunya, we need to realize why is that fear there. And if that is because of lack of tawakkul, lack of trust in Allah, then there's something that we need to find a cure for.
MashaAllah, beautifully mentioned. And one of the reasons why I chose this topic, the fears, is because there was a recent article that I was reading. It mentioned some of the things that you guys were talking about. One of them was that, you know, the search was 42% increase of people with depression. And some of them were, I fear losing my job. I fear I'm going to get worse, you know. I fear that I'm going to get, you know, ill, and I fear I'm going to lose my family. So all these kind of things have been so much playing in the minds of people.
I know an individual, it's an elderly person.
Mm-hmm.
A very nice, happy individual.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a lot of panic in the society, on social media, and the people around them. That person went on a freeze mode. I couldn't get hold of him.
Allah.
And I was really worried because of his age as well. And I was really concerned. Just wanted to know how he is. I just couldn't get through to him. I tried in different avenues, spoke to different individuals to find out how he is. And what I realized, though, through that family, that this individual, he has gone into that state of fear that we don't know what's going to happen to the world now. Yeah, you know, is the world going to end now? What's going to happen? He had that type of fear. You know, you learn from the teachings of Islam as well that when you have that sadama, yeah, you know, the problem. Yeah, when the calamity occurs, you think, how are you gonna do it? But time heals things.
Yeah, waqt guzar jayega.
Waqt guzar jayega. With time, you can see people have become more relaxed.
I was just coming back to what Tawfiq Bhai was saying, that, you know, you've got to instill the fear of Allah. This emotion, and this is very, very important. This emotion has been created by Allah. Why? Because الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That we're here for a test to see who is, you know, who does good deeds. Now, in essence, this is a test. We all have fear of poverty, fear of theft, fear of losing your respect, your honor, debt problems, children problems, employment problems, as you said. All this vast array. And not one. You know, different people will be sat there today listening to this who will be thinking, my problems, nobody can understand. Because they're that complex. But Allah knows everybody's problems. Now, they're there for a reason. This is the key to it. There were people who started to panic, like you said, and they thought, where's the next meal going to come from? What they didn't think was, Allah has just fed me for 40, 50 years. The fear factor came in. Fear of poverty. Even then, you know, there's people now who are taking loans on businesses at the moment. They're lying. And you know how they're justifying it, Hafsa? They're saying, well, that's the situation we're in. So we have to survive. So they're lying. You know, if it's wrong, it's wrong. If you're lying to get funds, it's haram. Yeah. Now, all of this was actually a choice. This pandemic that came along, it didn't come along accidentally. You know, all these people who go around believing in these theories, this was a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's give the world a test and let's see who comes out on top. Yeah. Those who said, Allah Azza wa Jal feeds me. I'm not going to fear poverty. I'm going to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm not going to fear theft. I'm going to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm not going to fear dishonor because Allah is the one who gives honor and respect. I'm not going to fear debt because Allah is the one who takes us out of debt. I'm not going to fear problems and calamities. I'm not going to fear disobedient children. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal is the one through the blessings of His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what they've done then, Ahasab, is they've counteracted this fear that was in their hearts with trust in Allah. That's the key to it. Because the fear will always be there. But it depends what you fight it with. Now, if you take the fear that you have, whether it's fear of poverty or anything else, and if you fight it with your own emotions and you try to justify it in your head, you cannot deal with it. That's why it's a problem, because it's not within your control.
You know, if Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives you rizq, and we all believe that, Wallahu khairu raziqin. It says, Pakistan, Wallahu khairu raziqin. Every fraud they might do. So why is it that, you know, we believe in Allah Ta'ala as khairu raziqin, but why do we have to do these other things?
There are people who struggle, especially they feel the pain and burden with regards to their sustenance. I think, what's going to happen to me? I can't find a good job. I can't, where am I going to eat from? Sometimes the parents put that, you know, that mindset in their children, that, you know, if you don't grow up, if you don't get a nice job, you know, what's going to happen to you? How are you going to feed the children? With regards to the risk and the provider, which is our Rabb, it's mentioned in the glorious Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, and there is no one that walks upon the earth whose sustenance is not upon the responsibility of Allah's generosity.
Subhanallah.
He knows where it shall stay and where shall be its depository, the grave. Everything is in a manifest explanatory book.
Subhanallah.
So wherever a person is, you know, if there's an insect, a small worm, yeah, on top of a mountain, that gets the food as well. So that gets the risk. If there's any creature which is right at the bottom of the ocean, that gets a risk as well. It is Allah who gives. Yeah, so our Allah, you know, is the most, the ultimate provider.
Bishop.
He's a sustainer. And, you know, we are so fortunate, we are so lucky that Allah Ta'ala has given us, has made us from those who believe in Allah. Yeah, for therefore, any problem you have in life, especially if it's to do with risk, you know, turn towards Allah.
You know, the thing is, when we went to Pakistan in 2005, when there was the earthquake, and we live a life of luxury here, and we went there, and these people, Yakin Karenke, it absolutely amazes. These people had lost their houses. They were living outside in the open sky. Yeah. They'd lost family members. And they had nothing. And whenever you spoke to them, it was Allah better. And you thought, and there's just that trust. They knew that Allah Azza wa Jalla was going to look after them. And you thought, yeah, they've got nothing. You know, we've got every luxury in the world. And, you know, they were praying Salah in the masjids, and they were, all it was the Rose of Ramzan, you remember. And they were fasting. And, you know, and we aren't that strong. You know, something like calamity like that happened to us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But, you know, a lot of our mindsets, because we live in a life of luxury, suddenly if everything's taken away from us, you wouldn't be fasting. You think, well, in these halat, I can't do it. I've lost my children. I've lost my house. I've got nothing. I'm living out on the streets. I'm trying to find a tent. How can I do this? These people were fasting. And I remember them queuing up to the back of the trucks to receive the food, just near Asr Maghrib time. And they were all fasting. And as soon as Maghrib time came, they all sat down on the roadside and opened their roza. And this was their trust in Allah.
Sometimes in the natural disasters, you'll find after a week, there's few people, you know, who are dug right somewhere deep down. You know, they're found physically alive.
Yeah.
You know, who keeps them alive?
Allah.
It is Rabb.
You know, one thing you mentioned, Tawfiq, was... you know, Allah Ta'ala has written, you know, destiny before a man is even born. Now, the thing is, you need to know your limits as well. You know, we don't, you know, as they say, control our own destiny. Allah Ta'ala has written down for us what we're going to eat. But we need to try. We need to try hard. That doesn't mean, okay, Allah Ta'ala has written it for me, then I can sit down. There's no need to worry about these kind of things. Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, once a person came to him and he goes, Buzurg, I don't understand where my next meal will come from because... I don't work. And he goes, have you ever seen a bird crying and saying, well, I don't know where my next meal is coming from? Allah Ta'ala feeds these animals. Why are you worrying about it? You are ashraful makhlukat. Allah Ta'ala will feed you
as well. That's a brilliant point. You see, that brings you to trust Allah Azza wa Jalla.
There's a very beautiful hadith in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Tirmizi Sharif. And he says that no slave of Allah will truly believe until he believives in Al-Qadr.
Allah.
It's good and bad from Allah until he knows that what has befallen him was not going to miss him. And that what missed him was not going to befall him. If you're in this, you know, problem, then, you know, you were not going to miss it. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has written in your decree. Now, if you did miss it, it wasn't written for you anyway. So that's why you missed it. So don't have that fear. You know, always sit in our home thinking to yourself.
So just on that point, I know Tawfiq, I just wanted to comment there. But you said, put your trust in Allah. There was that famous hadith in Mubarakah where a man came in the court of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have a camel outside.
Subhanallah.
Shall I leave it in the trust of Allah, or shall I tie it up? And what Aka Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was such a magnificent madni pearl that we could live our life by.
Subhanallah.
Aka Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, tie it up and then put your trust in Allah. Take all the necessary precautions. Go out and earn a halal living. Make all the efforts you can. And then put your trust in Allah.
Another regular example that we can have in our life is at night time, you lock the door, don't you? Your main entrance. We normally lock the door.
Yeah.
You lock the door, then you have tawakkul.
Yeah?
In Islam, we don't say, oh, leave the, why are you locking the door? Keep the door open. Yeah? It's not like that. Yeah, as a Muslim practice as well, you know, we see that we are told to take all the, you know, precautionary measures and the necessities, the asbab, and then have tawakkul in the court of Allah Almighty. Because all these asbab and these means are available, they are a blessing of Allah Almighty. By not taking those, you know, those means into consideration, you are, you know, you are turning away the blessings from Allah Almighty. One of the beautiful quality of a mu'min, scholars have mentioned, is that whenever a mu'min, whenever a believer, he loses a blessing. In that period, instead of going crazy and blowing everything out, he observes patience.
Patience.
He has sabr. So whenever he loses a blessing, he observes patience. And whenever he has the favors of Allah, whenever he receives the blessings, then in that state, he does shukr. He is a thankful person. Yeah. So this is a very important part. So whenever we lose something in life, yeah, having a calamity, having trouble, having burdens of life, during those moments, what do we need to do? We need to observe patience. Remain strong. And then whenever we have the blessings, whenever we have the ni'mat of Allah Almighty, then we need to thank Allah Almighty. This is the basic quality of a mu'min.
So, you know, you said everything is kind of destined for you. I'm going to read a beautiful ayah mubarakah from the glorious Quran. It's Surah number 57, Surah Al-Hadid, and translation from Kanzul Iman, ayah number 22. There is no misfortune that reaches in the earth or in yourselves, but is mentioned in a book before we initiate it. Indeed, this is easy for Allah Azza wa Jalla. So, in essence, Hafiz, everything that befalls us, you know, the pens have dried, the pages have been lifted, all events are preordained, they have to happen. They're all within, encompassed within the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. For you, it's making the effort. The decree of Allah Azza wa Jal will overtake it. What we're really tested on, you know, for those who perhaps are a little philosophical like me, if you look
what
deeper,
does philosophical mean?
Kind of think deeper, yeah? Exactly. I try. And you know, basically what it is, what we're, everything around us will carry on. Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed it. Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to see your niyat of what happens. And if something happens, now who are those who sit back and say, look, Allah Azza wa Jalla used to feed me. Allah Azza wa Jalla will feed me. I don't need to go do haram things now. No. The wise intellect thinks all of this has been for a reason. You know, the silly people, they develop all these conspiracy theories. Oh, this happened and that happened. No. The wise man is sitting there thinking, this is a test from Allah Azza wa Jalla. I'm going to put my trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla.
You know, one thing, we understand that shaitan is our enemy.
Bishop.
Now, these kind of fears, these are the tricks of the shaitan. And Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Holy Quran as well. Surah Ali Imran, verse 175. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ Allah Ta'ala, He says that it is only the shaitan who frightens you with his friends. Do not fear them and fear me if you are believers. Yeah. Uh-huh. So it is Allah Azza wa Jalla, the real, you know, the being that we should be fearing, not any one person. And because it's the shaitan, he's going to instill these kind of thoughts in our mind. So, you know, one, this is all about, we're talking about is the fear of losing the job, the fear of, you know, losing a lot of benefits. And, you know, we're starting to, and that is affecting not just the person, but the whole family is affected.
That great ayah mubarakah in relation to the walis of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun.
Yes. What that says is the walis of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the friends of Allah Azza wa Jalla, neither have fear nor grief.
Subhanallah.
Why don't they have fear and grief? Grief is over the past. Yeah, we say, you know, something happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago. We pondered over it and we saw it and we tried to relive it 50 million times and it absolutely cabbages our brain. Right? You know what the walis of Allah say? That was the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that's it. I'm going to learn from it and move on. They have no fear. You know what they think? They think, look, whatever happened was the decree of Allah. Whatever will happen is the decree of Allah. Why should I fear that?
Yeah, sure.
And they live in this blissful life with no grief and no fear. Kaash ki hamari zindagi aise, you know, if our life was like that, where you had no grief and no fear, you'd be in bliss, absolute bliss.
You know, as they say that someone who has the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla will not fear anything else. Now, this is something that Amir al-Sunnati mentions, and he says that, you know, sometimes we say, oh, you know, I fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Ta'ala ke ilawa, mujhe kuch na khauf nahi. Yeah, but the thing is, the reality is, there's so many things that if you really check down and do your, as they say, operation, you'll find out that maybe we are scared of everything else but Allah Himself.
You know, depression, Hafsa, yeah. There are a few things that the Buzurgani Deen, the pious predecessors have said, which in two or three sentences, the feedback can get rid of depression.
Yeah.
Whatever befalls you, whatever happens to you, was not meant to escape you. It was destined for you. Yeah?
No.
And whatever escapes you wasn't for you. So if it didn't happen to you, don't cry over it because it wasn't supposed to be there. Yeah? Once we get that in our minds, and for the future, whatever is going to happen is decreed by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Your fear will not prevent it.
No.
Yeah? Huh? If there is a calamity written for you, there are certain circumstances that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And this is the love that Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for the Ummah. That the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla is so amazing and so great that it can't be changed. But Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love that they had for the Ummah said, I'll teach you a little way that even the creator of the heavens and the earth will change his own decree through these three methods, through these two methods. One is sadqa in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the second is dua in the court of Allah Azza wa
Jalla. So if we can try to change the mode in the last few minutes on this topic, yeah, is how we can get rid of this. Yeah, one of the reasons that you can start off with is increase your worship, because when you worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, when you are you're offering your salah, you're reading the Quran, you're doing the zikr of Allah. Now, constantly, you're not thinking about all these fears that you had. Now, you are worrying and fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you're doing your ibadat. And the ulama al-kiram, they say that the Buzurgan-e-Din, rahimahumullah, their life used to be that if they ever had any calamities, any problems, they would straight away turn towards the zikr of Allah. Nowadays, you know, if someone dies in the family, we don't even go to the masjid to read our salah. We forget our salah. Why? Itna bada Allah ya janaba. I've totally forgot. Don't forget your Rabb and them times.
That's a very important area that you just touched now. You know, it's an unfortunate fact that in our society, our loved one passed away. We are shocked. You know, we are grieving. But we don't change.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't improve in our life. If we didn't pray 5 daily prayers before their death, after their death, we still don't pray.
Yeah.
Although, no, that individual who's passed away, the closer he is to you, if it's your family member, if it's your one of the parents, your brothers, your uncles, the closer he is to you, you realize the most.
Now
look, he's gone.
Mm.
I'm going to die as well. That fact becomes like a reality to you, especially if he's very close to you. But even then, you know, we don't change.
Mm.
You know, and that is something that we need a wake-up call.
Even if we do the feedback, it's temporary.
Yeah, it's very temporary.
It's only for a few days. You'll see that, you know, some people, you know, sadly, they even ask Muslim, why? You know, so the thing is, we might be forced to sit down and, you know, at least 3 days of mourning. You know, some people today sadly are forced into that as well. That, you know, do we have to sit down?
They say that because of a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm not there and the whole crowd, the whole tribe is watching me, if I'm not there, then, you know, what I'm going to say, whose face, where am I going to show my face?
Yeah. Another thing that is mentioned, how to get rid of these fears is to control your anger. You know, this Buzurga, he mentions that remember that anger stems from fear and a sense of helplessness. Yeah. You know, when you can't do anything else, then you start to shout, you know, you start to scream, you start to do wrong things, mazala, people start swearing. At that time, try to control your anger, inshallah. You will try to control your fears as well, inshallah.
Look, there's a good fear as well, you know, generally in life.
Gee.
That fear is that you should fear that you are wasting time.
Mm.
Yeah, so to use, you know, value your time in the dunya and bring a purpose in your life, that we've got a journey to head towards the Jannat, towards pleasing Allah Almighty, to please the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And, you know, have this feeling in your mind that if you're not going to make your time productive, you're not going to have a good timetable, and there's a chance that you might be wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding wasting time, it is mentioned in the various narrations that those people who will be in Jannat, in paradise, even they will have this one hasrat, we use the word in Urdu, if you can find an English word to it.
Desire.
Well. One desire. That they will feel like they're losing out for one thing. That would be that in the dunya, the time they wasted or the free time they didn't utilize.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, you know, that is very important. From the life of the pious Muslims, we learn that they are very productive. So they don't let any time to go waste. So we should fear that as well. We should fear that, look, if I'm not doing anything, my time's going to get wasted.
Yeah, and another thing,
in that regards, you know, the fear of failure is actually part of success.
Yeah.
Yeah? So in life, you know, you should, there's good fear and bad fear, but in this context, you need that fear. Sometimes, you know, some people, you know, who don't have job, who don't go to college, university, they just stay at home, relaxed, they're very chilled.
Mm.
They're not bothered. You need to look at their lifestyle, they're not concerned.
See, yeah? Islam doesn't want anyone to be in that kind of a situation. Another reason to get rid of all these fears is one very important is to put yourself in service of people. There were so many Islam brothers that, you know, they were doing the relief work, they were, you know, they were going out, you know, out of their ways, sometimes helping other people. And sometimes you think that they didn't have that fear because Allah Ta'ala took that fear away from him. I would, you know, urge the viewers as well, you know, try to, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, you know, come into Dawat Islami. Don't watch Dawat Islami from a distance, come close. There's so many departments, alhamdulillah. One of the important things just to get out of that depression mode was go and help others as well. You know, Ghame Ummat is one of the beautiful things that you can do. You know, another thing is accept that it was the qadr, from Allah azza wa jal, accept it from the heart and move on. You know, Islam doesn't say that, okay, because it was from Allah azza wa jal, I couldn't have done
anything.
Don't cry
over spilled milk.
You know, so it's not that, that's not the case, because Allah has given us a brain as well to think.
You know, one beautiful tip that scholars mentioned for life, that whenever you want to look towards someone or compare yourself with someone, compare yourself with those who are inferior from you, those who are poor, those who have less.
The blessed
less
Hadith Mubarakah as well.
Yeah, there's narrations of Hadith Mubarakah on this topic as well. That's something that we normally neglect. What do? We look at the millionaires, we look at those high fly, you know, top notch people in the society, and we want to live, we want to raise our lifestyle according to them. We make them our role models. That's where we get wrong. Yeah, because not everyone's going to become, you know, a millionaire. Let's be honest, yeah. Not everyone, if you look at the life generally, you know, unless if it's written for you, that's a different thing. But as a part of normal routine, no one's going to be at the top, you know, the billionaire
that's
person.
That's a magnificent point.
But if you look at those who are, from the health-wise, if you look at those who don't have arms, who don't have eyes, they live a life as well.
You know, the thing is, you mentioned about our mission in life is not to become a millionaire. You know, people try their best and they do become millionaires.
That part is very important. You know, our maqsad, our purpose of life is not to reach money or to achieve goals of this dunya.
Sure.
Our maqsad is something else. Now, Allah has created us for a purpose. We've got a meaning to our life. We're not just here for no reason.
You know, someone will say, well, Usman Ghani was a millionaire, radiallahu ta'ala an. He was a millionaire, but his mission wasn't to become a millionaire. Allah Ta'ala gave him all the wealth.
He gave as much as he could away in the way of Allah. But the blessings were such that he maintained. Allah. He got richer and richer.
You know, like he said, you know, the more you give, the more Allah Ta'ala will give you.
It's a very good point that Tawfiq Bhai makes, because, you know, the whole of this topic, fear, it's linked with gratitude in the court of Allah. And the famous ayah mubarakah, la in shakartum la azidannakum wa la in kafartum inna azabi la shadid. Kanzul Iman, if you give thanks, I will give you more.
Subhanallah.
And if you are ungrateful, then know that my punishment is severe.
Allah.
Now, when we are fearing, this is the real crux of the problem. We're coming to the end of it. Let me try and highlight, according to Medina Kasagigimta, the problem here is this. We have these inbuilt fears because they are there so that we shun every other fear, give it a secondary, third, tertiary place, and we replace it with just the fear of Allah. Now, what the Buzurgani Deen say is, what is the fear of Allah? What is it? It is actually being scared. It's being scared of displeasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the true fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then in that fear, not just holding it in your heart. You know, people say, oh, it's in my heart. Deen is in my heart. No. Then you move that into action. And how do you move that into action? You make sure that you protect your salah. That is fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then you make sure that your zakat is paid. You keep the rosy. You read the Quran. You do good deeds. You read halal rizq. You stay away from the wrong. Let me give you an example of those who do. And that, you know, this is a very beautiful kind of example that we can finish on. An eminent scholar of hadith, Sayyidina Hudba bin Khalid radiallahu ta'ala, and he is invited by the Khalifa Baghdad, Mamun Rashid. After eating, the scholar began to pick up the little bits of food that had fallen down. Astonished by this, the Khalifa says, oh Sheikh, are you not full yet? And he replied, I am full, but I have heard a hadith in Mubarakah, whoever picks up and eats fallen bits of food from the dining mat will be free from the fear of poverty.
SubhanAllah.
So, I am acting upon this blessed hadith in Mubarakah. So, he's in the court of the king, but he's not bothered. He's acting upon the hadith in Mubarakah. Yeah? He's not got a fear of what these people are going to think of me. He fears Allah Azza wa Jal, and his love for the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes over. Now listen to this. Highly impressed by this gesture of, you know, acting in accordance with the sunnah, the Khalifa gestures to the servant, go and get a bag of 1,000 dinar gold coins wrapped up in a handkerchief, and they came and presented them to the great Sheikh as a gift. The eminent scholar said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, look at the blessings the Hadith Mubarakah's had. Because the Hadith Mubarakah said, you will not be poor. And look, I've acted upon the hadith in Mubarakah, and the blessings have come straight away.
SubhanAllah.
Instant results.
Mashallah.
But it's trust in Allah, isn't it? That's the important thing.
You know, again, you know, when you started off, Harubay, about people lying in businesses, you know, the root of that business, you know, it starts from lying. we're going to do this, we're going to we're going to write this. So the thing is, and you think to yourself, why are you doing all this, you know, just to earn money, and you're going to start your basic is from lying. What are you going to, kitna kamaso, kitna khaso?
Where are you going to take it? How many people have we say this time and time again.
Allah.
You know, I've seen so many brothers, didn't rat, I'm doing it for my kids, I'm doing it for this. And when we've put them in their graves, yeah, there's no pockets, there's no safe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they say, they fib them, you know, they lie so much that they convince themselves of their own lies. So they say, oh, we do it for our kids, yeah? And these are the same kids who are having a smoke outside with the mate while you are giving the ghusl. Because they don't know what to do. And they're too scared to touch their father's clothes. Rather than give them, you know, work 18 hours and give them 180-pound shoes and, you know, 150-pound jackets. Gosh, you taught them the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, I was actually on Umrah at the time when they passed away. And I found out afterwards. And he did the ghusl of his father. And then, you know, when the Imam Sahib stepped up to do the namaz janaza, you know what he said? He said, okay, all my life I wanted to read the janaza of my father. Can I do it? And they said, this is amazing.
Subhanallah.
And he'd prepared himself. Mashallah, Dari Sharif, you see, and everything else. And he prepared himself for this day. And he stepped forward and he read the, this is in Bolton. He read the janaza of his own father. And yakin kare, so proud of that young man that day. The young man, he was only in his 20, 25, something like that. And he stepped up. Now, that walad had worked same, you know, that father had worked for his children. Like, Imam, that day, can you imagine what his ruh would have been feeling? Okay, my own son is stepping up and reading my janaza. He must have been, you know, in his going into his grave, he must have been so happy and smiling. It was unbelievable.
You know, people have other fears as well. Starting up a new business, they might fear. And one beautiful thing you mentioned, Tawfiq, was, you know, when you have that fear of losing, you've lost already. You know, so everyone's gonna, you know, even, you know, losing is something that you've benefited as well, because what's gonna happen is if you think to yourself that no, nuksan, you know, you're always, you're negative before starting as well. So don't worry, inshallah, put the trust in Allah, do all your mathematics, you all do all your field work, all the homework, do it and put the trust in Allah. So try to work hard in your business. But alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, put the trust in Allah. Don't forget your salah. Don't forget your durood e paak. Don't forget your family. Don't forget your friends. Forget everyone. I want to be rich. Have a target and inshallah work towards that. Leave the rest in the court of Allah, Azza wa Jal. Jee, mashallah, Azza wa Jal, Harun bhai, before we end this topic, last remarks from yourself regarding this topic. And then we've got the famous personality that we need to talk about as well.
Subhanallah. Abhisab, this is all about the essence of your creation. Allah Azza wa Jal created us for a purpose. And that purpose was to recognize Allah Azza wa Jal as the provider, the sustainer, and the one whom we are here to please. Yeah? And your desire should be to please Allah Azza wa Jal, not to earn lots of money. Now, what we do is we shift our focus. Even though, bazaar, we say that we believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, what importance does Allah Azza wa Jal's commands have in our life? What importance is the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla in our life? Do we fear that we will break the laws of Allah Azza wa Jalla? We fear the laws of the land. You know, they go past a camera, the tradar and then it flashes.
Yeah.
Right? But Allah Azza wa Jalla, the creator of the heavens and the earth, sees all your actions. You know, we hide our actions from each other. We, you know, dunya ke samne mazes bade phirte. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows. Now, we fear the world. Perhaps, you know, if we feared Allah Azza wa Jal the way that we fear the world, then that would be our ticket to Jannah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Jee Tawfiq Bhai, having fear of Allah is such a beautiful thing.
SubhanAllah.
That the divine fear is a source of salvation from the fire of hell.
SubhanAllah.
Those who have the fear of Allah are the beloveds of Allah.
SubhanAllah.
This is something that we should be aiming to achieve, and we should ask Allah Almighty, Ya Allah, give me your fear. Ya Allah, bless me your real khawf, so that I only have fear from you and not from anyone else. A very beautiful and easy way to enter paradise, always have the fear of Allah. When you do something, even though when you're alone, no one's looking at you, always think, no, Allah Ta'ala is there. Someone who's done something wrong, forget it, you know, just forgive and forget, move on.
Just on that point, I wasn't going to interrupt you because of your final remarks, but you know, on that point, where are there all these fights in the house? Where there is all this strife and going to talaqs and everything else? In that house, 99% out of 100, they are be-namazi and they don't read the Quran.
Beshak.
You know the husband and wife who are namazi, who make their kids read namaz, who read the Quran every day, because there's a famous hadith of Mubarakah which says that, you know, the shaitan runs a mockery in the house where there's no recitation of the Quran. And so most of these places, and we see them, you know, sometimes you will be called to help out or to mediate between them. I've certainly had a majority of these, very few, but majority of these, yeah, they are be-namazi, they're away from the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they're disobedient in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, they trust, it's all money, money, money.
Really?
And that money, money, money is causing this problem. If they want to reform, they're looking for a solution. Mm-hmm. The solution is to fear Allah.
You know, one thing, Arumba, you mentioned that, you know, when you do become an intermediary between these two people, you think to yourself, kusi ki deen sa, huh? He doesn't know much about the deen. He doesn't know much about the deen. Even if you do mention about the fear of Allah, the deen, they won't listen to you because their minds are not programmed in that way at the moment. So, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, the topic today that we were trying to discuss was fears. So, inshallah, Azawajal, you can watch this program later on as well on our YouTube channel and also on our Facebook channel, Madani Channel English. But please try to, you know, remember all the things that we are discussing. The last part of our program, what we normally have is we discuss one of the departments of Dawat Islami. And today, inshallah, Azawajal, we're going to be discussing the department of Madrasatul Madina. Yeah, mashallah, Azawajal, Madrasatul Madina, alhamdulillah, in the UK, at this moment of time, we have approximately about 4,000 students in Madrasatul Madina. And we've got, I think, if I'm not mistaken, about 30 branches of Madrasatul Madina in the UK, and which is growing every year. And where we are now in Bury, alhamdulillah, Azawajal, Islamic Brothers Madrasa and Islamic Sisters Madrasa is running as well, mashallah. So the people who are local to Bury, then the local area, we've got Rotherham, we've got Rochdale, sorry, we've got two madrasas in Rochdale, we've got one in Oldham Bolton, Manchester. And mashallah, Azawajal, in our region, alhamdulillah, Azawajal, we've got these 9 madrasas, alhamdulillah, Azawajal, in the locality I've just mentioned. Now, alhamdulillah, Madrasatul Madina, every week, roughly I estimate about £45,000 at this moment in time, or a bit more than that. That's the weekly wage that we give to our teachers. But our parhai, alhamdulillah, we don't charge a penny. You know, so alhamdulillah, here the viewers, I want to mention to them as well that this is an opportunity for us to, you know, support Dawat Islami, where, you know, this is just one department, Madrasatul Madina. And mashallah, Azawajal, we've got a very beautiful setup, you know, our HR department that recruits all the people. So we go through a very stringing, to choose the teacher, make sure they're all DBS checked as well. And, you know, they've been given training. We've got health and safety department.
We don't just have any teacher. We have those who are qualified.
They have to pass a test. That test is quite tough.
They have the basic essential tajweed test, which we normally cover in Madani Qaida book. And we have a Quran recitation test. And sometimes the test is at least 45 minutes, 1 hour. And those individuals who've taken the test, they realize that, you know, it's a great blessing that we have the system in place.
Alhamdulillah. And
because, you know, in many madrasas that are out there where they don't have this test procedure, what happens if, what if you have a teacher who is making mistakes in his recitation? And if he's teaching children, you know, incorrectly, instead of getting a sadaqah jariyah, ongoing charity, ongoing reward, he's getting ongoing sins for himself. And that is something
gunai jariya.
And that's a term we normally don't use. That is a fact. You know, sometimes, you know, if you tell something wrong to someone, if he practices that, whenever he acts upon it, you're part of it.
You know, I went to a madrasa once, and I walked past, normally you have madrasa, sometimes they're in the masjid. And one student, he was reading it aloud, you know, wa ila umma mim ma'ak. And I stopped and I saw, definitely that's wrong. You know, so I stopped and the Qari Sahib, you know, was there listening to him. Qari Sahib bata nahi kele ki baba baithe hai usan. You know, again, because they didn't have the proper teacher. So he was there listening, and the kid just were, you know, whizzed past him. And as they say that, if you see anything wrong, you try to, you know, rectify them. So I went inside, gave salam, who was reciting the Quran just before you? Kun sunane ta yasid saki. He goes, oh, mura. So I go, maya putar kom here. You know, the way I called him was different to the way he called. Oh, there are. And he said, no, much. You know, so got him, bichara, I said, dari gaya, bata, kya hai, kya hai, they're going to lose. So alhamdulillah, I called him close, and I goes, putar, read that again. And he read it again, and the same again, he whizzed through, and I said that, no, read it properly. There's 3 memes you are, you know, there's, wa ila umma mim mam ma'aka. And, you know, Haji Sahib goes, acha, ye, ghalat si padha. And I goes, bichara, tu sangi apu nahi hai, chana, how are you going to teach him as well? So it's very important that we have, you know, you don't go to school and the teachers there because they're not qualified themselves. Sadly, this is the, and another thing is, again, you know, for health and safety.
In that case, you're lucky that, you know, you were able to rectify them, but sometimes it's very hard. Now, there are individuals, there are elders especially, it's hard to tell them. How to rectify them. You know, you say something, that's it, you're gone now.
That's why I said, did you manage to get it?
So sometimes what is Harun, even once you have that need to rectify something, and like we've been discussing, why have the fear of a person? You know, if you wanted to have a debate, all I would have done is walk away. At least I tried my best. But alhamdulillah, I was kamyab in that.
But here there's a beautiful lesson for all of us as well. That if you see something wrong, then, and if you can stop that, you should do your best. Find a way.
Now,
not always you have to be the person who will actually rectify directly. You might have to go around. Find those who are seniors in the management or
you
whatever.
You know, as they say, where there's a will, there's a way. You know, I went into a masjid and in Pakistan. You know, I was going home my first day and Jummah time. And even though Jummah wasn't wajib upon me because I was a traveler, but because the Jummah azan was happening, and I thought it's an opportunity to Jummah to put on. So I went into the masjid and the person sat next to me. He had what, 3 gold rings on him. Now, you know, what do I do? You know, Mom, I thought, no, I'm going to tell him, inshallah. So after Jummah namaz, you know, before we started, and I thought, you know, and Nazir, yeah, even I ran off before him. So I goes to him, he goes, Paijan, kal karni hai, please, if you don't mind, and after Jummah mein mulaqat kare. And he goes, okay, ji, no problem. So he goes, chalo. And you know, I always try to do keep something in my pocket as well, apart from money. You know, so some tohfe wagaira. And so what happened was, I met him, and I was so happy that, mashallah, he stood there. And I goes, look, ik nikhi ji gala, if you don't mind me saying that. And he goes, no, what do you want to say? I goes, look, first of all, wearing a gold ring is haram for a man. You've got 3 on, yeah, and you just read your Jummah Salah. Please, can you take them off and don't wear them? And you know what he said? He goes, you know, a lot of people have mentioned this. Kitne bande aakhirin? Many unhone gal manni. Kyun? You know, our people say, unhone ne thoda se rab maar rahe hain. And he goes, one person turned on to me, oh, tu Musliman hai, tu ye chapa nahi the firna hai. And he goes, from that day, I made an intention. Un mein jidda na lasa. Yeah, so, but the way I mentioned it to him, okay, he was wrong as well. But you know, all you had to do was just tell him, and he took him off straight away. And he goes, inshallah, main niyat karna, I'll never put him on again. So, again, you know, try to do islah people in a good manner. And this is what we see with
the beautiful saying, say the correct thing in the correct way.
At the correct time.
Yeah, at the correct time, at the correct places.
At the correct places, oh, mashallah. Just coming back to what you were saying, Hafsab, about Dawat Islami's Madrasatul Madina setup. Now, because you mentioned obviously donations, etc. It's essential in every society to have this and to make sure that the children are being educated and they learn the glorious Quran. Now, Dawat Islami all over the world has just under 4,000 branches, 170,000 students, right? Mm-hmm. More than 80,000 students have learned the glorious Quran with Dawat Islami. And all of that, there's no fees. In the UK, as you mentioned, just under 30 branches, did you say?
Yeah.
And there's just under 4,000 students.
Yeah.
Now, it's unheard of in this country to there be no fees, but there isn't. But alhamdulillah, because the standard of the education is so high, that alhamdulillah, a lot of people, they give more than the fees. You know, when your children come home, I mean, I know from my experience, my children come home, they have the little check sheet, and they come around, gee, can I kiss your hands? You know, and they come and kiss your hands, and then they sit down, and the teachers in that adab and that tariqah. And this is the beauty of Dawat Islami. All these teachers are trained. Not only are they trained, they have a full schedule of what they do. So they'll teach them the Quran, they'll teach them adab, they'll teach them respect to their parents. And this is almost every day on a daily basis. As the child is growing up, this becomes part of their nature. Now, the beauty of that is it stays with them for the rest of their life. Now, if you can contribute to this cause, it is a sadqa jariyah for you. You know, Dawat Islami, and I say this, you know, very openly, Dawat Islami doesn't need your money as much as you need your money in this cause.
Yes, sir.
If you give your money in this cause, it will be an investment for you, for your grave and your akhirah. Because these children are actually learning so much.
And you know, the system in place, alhamdulillah, azawajal, is that we have a head teacher. You know, again, that's something that, you know, is unheard of, having a head teacher. You know, school head teacher, or madrasa ki zarurat hai. So every madrasa, boys madrasa is separate to the girls madrasa. Every madrasa has a head teacher. And then Alhamdulillah, so that every teacher has been given a syllabus that they teach from Dawat-e-Islami. And then every head teacher has a region. You know, we've got 5 regions in the UK. So there is a head region, Nazim, or head teacher above all the other head teachers. And then we have, mashallah, the head of the whole of
Madrasa. We have examiners as well for that region.
We have examiners. Every region has its own examiner. We have 3 to 4 tests. You know, even to give, you know, to our teachers, we don't give them £5 an hour. We don't give them, you know, 50 quid behind the buck like that. It's a proper system where they're paid by payroll. The money's paid into a bank. They're given holiday payment. They're given,
everything.
Alhamdulillah, it's all paid for. And the other thing is that our teachers, they do get holidays as well. You know, that our HR department is the one that deals with that, alhamdulillah. It's all right. They're all on the mobile. It's an app that we've got, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. So if you want a holiday, you can book your holidays on the app as well.
Yeah, it's very professional. The other thing that really struck me, Hawassab Tafiq Bey, was this. You know, sometimes when you go into the Fazana Medinas, and you know, in the olden days, when we were at mosques here, and, you know, Buzurg Barwaisnas and the elders used to come in, and as children, you used to stand to one side and used to let them past here. And you didn't, don't even talk while they're walking past. And that's disappeared. You know, I went into some of our madrasas and I saw that mahal. So you walked in, and I was like, okay. And all the lads, they're having a chat and a banter. And as soon as they saw me, they kind of stood to one side, bismillah, you know, come in and shook hands. And then, after I'd kind of disappeared from their side, they then carried on. I thought, subhanAllah, that's what we used to, remember, you used to have that, and that's disappeared. And alhamdulillah, in the Dawat-e-Islami madrasas, because the teacher every day, and they taught the respect of the teacher as well, and the respect of the parents, gradually, you see, what we do is we try, in one sitting, it doesn't work like that. Teaching adab isn't actually through with the tongue, it's through actions. And because they see these people acting in accordance with what they're preaching, alhamdulillah, has a big effect on them.
MashaAllah,
I want to answer something beautifully. You know, if you look at Dawat-e-Islami as an organization, one of the two main fundamental objectives of Dawat-e-Islami is to serve the Quran and to serve the Sunnah.
SubhanAllah.
That is one of the main purpose why Dawat-e-Islami is in the existence.
Today, sadly, we run out of time. Don't worry, inshallah, next week we'll be here again, inshallah, with another topic. Please take care of yourself. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.